Room 2, Federal Building in Oakland, California, 13th and Clay Streets. Free speech support demo at 9, hearing at 10:30 a.m. Be there. Don't let them shut us down. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor and Anybody Else, actually. We believe in civil rights for everybody. That includes
human rights.
It's human rights, exactly, Suzanne, exactly. This show is particularly concerned with an upcoming hearing tomorrow here in Santa Cruz at the City Hall, the City Council, its first meeting of the year, in which on January 9th at 3:30 p.m. it will consider the Citizens Committees for the Homeless's latest panhandling request for money for its community house Trailers Not Trolls project. Particularly outrageous in light of their most recent violation of any kind of trust they may have had for the homeless, any kind of patent of legality, any kind of authorization that you might have thought they had to speak for homeless people or to be considered an appropriate agency for funding money to services for homeless people. They violated that trust. Their board of directors shut down any discussion of it, headed by Paul Lee a week and a half ago, December 28th, I believe it was. Actually, it was on Thursday, whenever that was, and last Thursday in December, at their meeting, a meeting which was recorded and broadcast over this station. You got to hear the last part of that meeting where we attempted to bring up the issue of their negotiators selling out the homeless, essentially lying to them, using abusing the good authority, if you want to call it that, of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless to make a deal that they then just blithely ignored. And you heard a director of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless today essentially confirm that. Becky Johnson spoke on the air and confirmed that this isn't just some wild Robert Norris accusation. No way. This is documented fact. It's not documented fact you're going to read in the Santa Cruz Journal. I'm sorry, the Santa Cruz Sentinel. No, this is a documented fact you gotta somehow dig out. You can of course hear it here, and we can get you any the written aspects of it too if you're interested. I have submit numerous flyers on the subject. Again, Free Radio Berkeley goes to trial, courtroom 2, February 2nd, Oakland, Federal Building, 13th and Clay. 9 a.m. is the demonstration. 10:30 a.m. is the hearing. There are other trials happening as well. In fact, there's a trial happening today in Arcata, California, and I did an interview with Ema, I believe her name is, one of the defendants. This was a rather sleepy interview. I caught her early in the morning, but I'm going to play it now. And this was, I think it was about 4 or 5 days ago that this interview happened. Might have been a week ago. And here it is. While I take a breather, you get to hear me and Ema talk about what is actually going on in Arcata, or what she was fearing and expecting at today's hearing, for actually trial hearing, for six individuals charged with serving free food.
On the line with?
Inma Thompson.
And Inma, you're, how do we spell that?
It's I-N-M-A.
Inma, okay. And Inma, you're with Arcata Food Not Bombs, which serves food to poor and hungry people in this town very near the Oregon border.
Yeah, about an hour south.
And how long have you been doing this?
2.5 years.
And I guess last time I probably saw you, do you remember me?
I think so, yeah.
That fellow with a beard, a tape recorder running all over.
Right.
Last time I saw you was in, I guess, November, when you were facing a court hearing. You're one of the people charged with contempt of court for the crime of feeding people in the Arcata Town Square.
Right.
Now, are those feedings still continuing?
Yes, they are.
And are you continuing to do them?
Yes.
And are the police continuing to photograph you?
Yes.
And, hey, is there any change in how the community is regarding this whole situation?
Not really.
So pretty much, is there still a lack, would you say there's a lack of support, or there's some positive support? What?
No, there's some support, but there's not, outreach, I suppose, or anything like that, you know?
No outrage against the authorities for harassing you. When we last left you, I remember there was a continuance for the five of you who had gotten contempt citations. And then there was also something coming down the pike about a general hearing on a permanent injunction. You had a TRO, and then you had a preliminary injunction against you. And then the final chapter was to be this permanent injunction. Whatever happened to that?
Well, that's still not, there's no date set for that yet.
Oh, really? So that's still kind of up in the air.
Right.
Now, is that a positive sign, or is that just a more anxiety for Food Not Bombs?
I'm not really sure. In a way, it is. It gives more time, but to try and to work things out, you know, before it becomes a permanent injunction, but it hasn't yet. I don't know whether that's anxiety for people. It hasn't been for me.
Uh-huh. So how many times a week are you guys feeding up there?
We try to do it every day. It might not have been happening every day over the holidays, so.
But
a lot of people went away.
But that's not because of police harassment.
Okay,
I'm sorry, that's not because of police harassment or timidity caused by the court action, but it's more just a normal seasonal difficulty.
Yeah, right. Because people left.
What's the story on police behavior toward the homeless in Arcata? Any change in the Christmas season? Any crackdown?
Well, I don't know. I just got in last night, and I have not been here.
How long have you been away?
About a week.
So let's say in the last month, has there been any crackdown?
Not anything different than what they've been doing.
Any media coverage? When I was up there, I noticed the Arcata version of the Anderson Valley Advertiser, the kind of alternative newspaper, gave you quite a broad coverage.
Yeah, there hasn't been anything other than that. I mean, there's the day of the court hearing, there's another couple of articles in different papers. No, I
haven't heard of that. And Mayor Schaub hasn't called with an apology yet?
No apology.
I see. So you're planning some kind of activity on, is it the 8th or the 9th?
The 8th is the court date. The 7th, we're planning a parade.
And when will that be, and how do people get involved in that?
I don't know the exact of it myself.
So, is there a phone number people could call if they're interested in learning about that?
It's the Food Not Bombs hotline, but I don't have it memorized, and it's outside.
Would it be 707-826-9522?
No, that wouldn't be it.
That's your number. Whoops.
Yeah.
Forget that number, folks. these are the perils of catching you early in the morning. I can see that.
I'm not really prepared to talk.
No, that's fine. You're doing, you know, you're telling us what you can, and that's all. I mean, it's better this than, you know, not having any information, certainly. And I guess on the 8th, there'll be the court hearing. Again, have you secured attorneys for your court hearing?
For the 8th, yes.
So is one attorney handling all five cases? And who are the names of the other defendants? Do you know?
There's six defendants.
Six defendants, wow.
It's Roy Legendowski, Robin Walker, Solomon DeMontini, Rodney Brendlinger, Ema Thompson, which is myself, and Poppy Heiser.
And was the sixth defendant an addition that happened in the last month or two? Or,
yeah.
And how did that happen?
She was heard papers and told that she'd been added and had to come to court, and then was appointed an attorney.
Now, why were these six people chosen, in your opinion? Is it arbitrary?
No, they're more well-known, have been around doing it a little longer, and have been vocal.
Has there been any city council action, or I guess you have one city council member who supports you?
One, yes.
And has he been vocal at all on your behalf?
No.
And do you think that indicates a change of mind on his part, or a sense of futility, or is he simply in love and possibly skiing in Alaska?
No, I think he's possibly wanting to not be told he has a conflict of interest, and so he wants to remain able to
vote on issues
and things like that.
I would think that expressing a strong opinion on an issue would not necessarily mean you have a conflict of interest. Simply,
well, the way that this this city has been portraying things, they would see it as that.
Really? Okay. Now, what's going to happen on the 8th? Can you kind of sketch out a scenario for our listeners of what they should expect? Let's suppose they came up in a bus to support you and went to the courthouse in Eureka. What would they be likely to see?
Well, people are probably eating breakfast outside in the morning, and then going into the court. Basically, people would have to sit down and quiet. Maybe not everybody would be able to go in because it might be pretty full, so you might not even go into the courtroom. And then there, so that everybody has lawyers this time, there is a strong possibility that it will go to trial, and if it does, the people will be questioned, but the lawyers are going to ask for a continuance because of certain, you know, there's different reasons that are still being ironed out. Which
a continuance is what happened at the November hearing of these then five defendants who become six. You're listening to a tape of about a week ago, early morning tape made with one of the defendants who didn't have a lot of information that is actually now really not that important, because the trial is happening now, if it's happening, or the continuance is happening now, and Arcata is quite a ways away from Santa Cruz, and so really what we can do right now is follow it and simply bring to the attention of our local community the kind of abuses that are going on statewide and nationally against groups that want to not merely feed homeless people and feed hungry people, but empower people and show that there is poverty where the politicians and the poverty pimps and the bureaucrats are telling us that everything is well in hand and don't worry and so forth. Another example of this is today's inaugural of Slick Willie Brown as mayor of San Francisco. You know, some folks are hoping, well, here's a black man, here's a Democrat, here's a better choice than Juggernaut Jordan, the fellow who's outgoing and who's, you know, set up a curfew in Golden Gate Park and barred the park to everybody at night and has been running the homeless out of the downtown with his Matrix program. Willie Brown surely has to be better. But the reality is, it's not too clear. And one thing that Food Not Bombs in San Francisco is doing today is it's feeding hungry people at the inauguration. Brown did not invite homeless people to his inauguration. He instead said he was going to feed them indoors at a Glide Memorial Church soup kitchen.
How much did that cost?
Sorry, what was that, Suzanne?
And how much did that cost? The inauguration ball is actually the most expensive inauguration ball in history. I do believe it's $300,000.
Really? Well, it'd be nice if everybody were invited to this expensive party, and of course, particularly those who've been getting the shaft so strongly, and perhaps whose plight to some extent is responsible for the election of Willie Brown, because there are plenty of people in San Francisco that didn't like what Jordan did with his Matrix program, moving homeless people from one neighborhood to another, arresting thousands of people for crimes like sleeping and having a backpack and sitting down or serving free food. I was arrested and convicted under the Jordan administration because of that, and I'm still facing a two-month jail sentence. Hopefully that will be overturned by the California Supreme Court in a couple months, and more on that when that happens. Food Not Bombs actually faced problems on Saturday when I went north. I went north to support a demonstration there, which was concerned with both the Arcata situation, which you just heard a tape about, the trial today of six people for serving free food in Arcata, California with Food Not Bombs, concerned with Sacramento harassment of Food Not Bombs, the Sacramento Guides, which is the sort of Sacramento version of our green-shirted hosts, have been harassing Food Not Bombs there for serving free food. And of course, tomorrow night in Berkeley, People's Park comes up for demolition, in essence. They're going to attempt to turn it into more sports fields, remove food and clothing services from the park, and generally make it a homeless-free zone, if possible. I mean, that seems to be the...
I'm scared of that.
Yeah, that's the intention. But there was also, and I'm going to find it here before it disappears completely, there was also a press release that came out of Saturday's Food Not Bombs demonstration in the Mission District in San Francisco, when, as I said, we supported the homeless, the poor, and all the rest of those who are in solidarity with making it legal to be poor, making it legal to serve and eat free food, recognizing and placing responsibility against the true criminals in our society, those who are denying to the great majority of people the basic means of life.
You mean making it legal to be a human being?
Yeah, exactly. Here's a press release that came out of that. Here's some news around that Food Not Bombs. Again, I got this over the internet. It's dated January 6th, 8 o'clock in the evening. Five people arrested at the Feeding People is Not a Crime protest Saturday, January 6th, 16th in Mission Street in San Francisco, starting at 12 noon. Five people were arrested for feeding people on Saturday, January 6th, 1996 at the Feeding People is Not a Crime protest. Over 50 people gathered at the southwest corner of 16th and Mission to protest against the civil contempt trial of six Food Not Bombs volunteers for sharing free food with the hungry at Arcata Plaza. The six Arcata activists face 25 to 30 days in jail and thousands of dollars in fines. They are to appear in Eureka Court at 8:30 a.m. That's today, Monday, January 8th, 1996. Palo Alto Food Not Bombs activists Eliza Bates and Julia Sen and San Francisco volunteers Ruth Eberle, Chris Crass, and John Viola were arrested at about 1 p.m. after several San Francisco police officers joined the food service at the table behind a cardboard jail cell with a sign that read Arcata County Jail. Chris Crass had soup all over his glasses and face as a result of his arrest. The police asked the three women from Palo Alto their names so they could file a police report against them. The sergeant said he wanted all the names of the people serving free food so he can file a police report. We'll get it before Hallinan, the new DA, and see if he wants to prosecute it. The sergeant claimed there was a court order against Food Not Bombs. Ruth, Eliza, and Julia were charged with violating a court order and serving food without a permit and must appear at the Youth Guidance, 375 Woodside Avenue, on Thursday, January 18th at 1:30 p.m. John and Chris were charged with resisting arrest and interference. I am running out of time here. My next show hosts have arrived. They want in. I got to get out. Very important, however, is something that's coming up tomorrow that I have not touched on at all, which is the youth curfew. That's coming up 7:30 tomorrow night at the Board of Supervisors. You got to be there. That's the fifth floor of the county building. This issue has disappeared from view for 4 months, but it is back. And it's been touched on a little with a couple of puff pieces in the paper. The Santa Cruz Sentinel is sort of giving it light coverage and giving the sheriff's police reviews, the sheriff's little press releases sort of prime time. What is really happening, however, is the very important fact that it's going to be illegal for people to be out after 11 o'clock at night if they look young. That's the bottom line. If you look young, don't go outside after 11 o'clock at night. Now they say, oh, there are all kinds of exceptions to this. There's nothing to be worried about and so forth and so on. There are some exceptions if you're coming back from this event or that event that supposedly will cover you. But, of course, I'm having trouble finding it. What you need to do is you need to contact the supervisors who are the swing votes on this. And the phone number to call is 454-2200. 454-2200, Board of Supervisors. And that's Jan Buettz, B-E-A-U-T-Z, Jan Buettz, and Fred Keeley. There are five supervisors. One of them is against, Marty Wormhout. Don't bother with her. She opposes the curfew. Two of them are for it, and you can't change their minds. Don't bother with them. But call Jan Buettz, B-E-A-U-T-Z, and Fred Keeley, and what you have to ask is not merely vote no on the curfew, but give us time to discuss this curfew before you take a policy vote. You promised to do that when this curfew was sent into the catacombs of the police department, the sheriff's office, back in September. Now, make good on your word, Jan Buettz. That's what you want to do, 454-2200, if you want to fight this curfew. It's 7:30 tomorrow night, Board of Supervisors, fifth floor. This is Bathrobes P.O. Robert telling you again, if you want to be on the air here, we've got room for you in the studio. We've got room for everybody in the studio. We've got a small studio. We've got a big heart. You show up at Taco Bell, 9:45 Friday morning. That's at Pacific and Laurel. I'll get you on the air. You give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, to report any violations of civil rights downtown around poor people. And if you want to show up at the city council meeting tomorrow and oppose the cash giveaway to the betrayers of the homeless, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, that's 3:30 City Hall tomorrow. I'll be back 10 o'clock on Friday morning. This is Bathrobes Spears Broadsides signing off, and I want to thank our hosts coming in for their patience in this matter. Thank you for being with me.
Hello, Santa Cruz. All right, this is the Sly and Raleigh Show. We're going to kick it.